We're in lesson 88. We turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read verses 10 through 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, what? To stand. Now, we left off with this last week, and I will mention Joshua chapter 9. We talked about that a little bit. Joshua chapter 9, you don't have to turn there. We can just talk a little bit about it. Along with the whole chapter, you'll see the illustration, a tremendous example of some people being tricked. We was talking about the wiles of the devil, and we're going to get involved in that a little bit. But they finally have the judgment of God come on them because they did not seek the counsel of the Lord. If you remember what Joshua 9 was, there's some people. Joshua, listen. When Joshua now went across the promised land, God gave him very great instruction to how to eliminate the people in the land. And if you know all those ites, Izzites, Jezebites, Hivites, all those ites were strongholds of Satan. Satanic policy evil working in the promised land. They was up against some things. So these people that they knew Joshua was coming in that land, what did they do? They disguised themselves, didn't they? They put themselves as old, like they've been traveling for decades to find them, and to have allegiance with them. Well, when they got into the place where it was up, they found out that they'd been tricked. So, in order, the curses that they got, the people that tricked them, that was to hew logs and the woodwork and draw water for them. That was the curse. So that's illustration of being tricked into departing from the Word of God and relying on human viewpoint. See what they was? They got tricked. Here's Joshua in times past leading Israel, God's chosen people, into a land. They had God's Word with them. God's with them, and they got tricked. Now, along with that, Numbers 25, chapter 25, 18, and all that is the story of Balaam. And you'll see the illustration where Balaam could not touch Israel. But God would not let him do that, you know, type of thing. And Revelations 2:14 talks about the doctrine of Balaam. So he has a doctrine. You know who Balaam is? Yeah. He's Satan, right? He's his puppet or whatever in the earth. He uses a lot of people like that. But that corrupted them. And so they would not stand in the position that God gave them, thus caused themselves to fall. So there's two great illustrations in the Old Testament where the word wiles is used to illustrate what the word means. That illustration of how Satan can't overwhelm you with his power, but he tries to fool you and trick you. See, he didn't control the nation Israel. He tricked them to going into other gods. He tricked their minds to go fornicating with other religions. With me? So they didn't really lose their position who they were in the Lord. So that's very, very important to think. Now, Satan comes along against you with trickery because he is not able and not powerful enough and not capable enough to dislodge you, the believer, from the body of Christ. You do know that, don't you? You know, if he could do that, then all of us would be in a world of trouble right now in God Almighty, wouldn't we? We would probably feel, many of us feel unworthy anyway sometimes when we think and do things like, I'm not worthy, Lord. Well, who are you in?
Christ.
Is he not worthy?
Amen.
You know, when he bought you with his blood, did he pay for you?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, he just didn't do that just nonchalantly. He did that for a reason. And so he has to trick the believer. So he results in trickery in his opposition as members of the body of Christ. Now, the satanic opposition of against the body of Christ is that deception, that trickery. It's not straight out onslaught like it was seemed like it was in times past against Israel. He came up against them with armies, didn't he? But you got to remember those strongholds in that land. They was there for a reason, because Satan knew where the promised land was at. So with us, he has no ability to dislodge us from the position who we are in Christ. He can't do that, guys. Once you're saved, once you're in him, nobody can get you out. That's a great illustration of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. But he can't overwhelm us. He is powerful, but we have a more powerful position. Where has God, and we're going to look at some things, where has God got you seated right now? That's over Satan, guys. You know, he hates for anybody to be over him. You have a more powerful position in Christ in ages to come when it's all said and done than you do right now. Verse 10 says it's all about, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We have the power of Almighty God to teach us. And he can't affect our standing in Christ. Listen, if he could, like I said, we'd be most miserable. You know, that type of thing. Praise God for that. When it's finished, it's finished. And our position in Christ. He can't move us away from what God has made us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what he can do? What is that? He can trick us. That's what we're talking about. He can trick us, and that's what he does. He tricks us into not standing in the position that we have. He tries to deceive us and tricks us into not taking advantage of that what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that in God by the grace that is given to us. Listen, if you can trick somebody, you fooled them, didn't you? You can convince them that it's not right to do that. And that's what he does. And religion does that. Religion's got a big, strong trickery. You know, waving wands or whatever the case may be, or, you know, that type of thing. And they can trick us. Now, Ephesians 6:11 says that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what the Greek word for devil is? Or the Latin word, Greek word? What is it?
Diablo.
There you go. Diablos. Maybe I said that wrong, but how do you say it?
I said Diablo.
Diablos, okay. That word is translated into devil. It is translated in Revelation as the accuser of the brethren. See? And the word, the character of the adversary, and the character of Satan is described by the term Diablos. If I said that correct, I keep messing up, okay? You know what also that word means? They had, it's a game. And it's two sticks with a round, look like a top, and you take that. You ever see those? Think about that a minute. What's that thing trying to do? Keep us between two sticks, tricking us, keeping us, you know what I mean? That's how Satan keeps us going up and down. So it's very interesting how that word plays out there. The idea is that Satan desires to throw something between and to what? Separate us. And he wants to throw something between you and the Lord. He'll throw stuff between you and your spouses. He'll throw stuff between you and your children. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. You know, you ain't my child. Acting like that. You know, I'm just saying that jokingly. But you know, you think about that, like, who's raising you? You know. But anyway, he focuses to come along and throw opposition in this case and to throw and trick you, guys. He can't literally separate you or cut you off from your position. This is how you got to stand. And the blessings and the standing that you have in Christ. But he can come along and trick you. He throws wise ideas out there and plans and tricks and cunning craftiness and the sleight of men and all kinds of things. He throws these things at you to try to trip you into not believing and not understanding what God has given you in Christ. Very, very important these things are. Hey, not only he can trick you, you can trick yourself, no? Yeah. You know, I went yesterday, or was it yesterday? My Friday, I got to get some new lenses. These are like 4 or 5 years old. And the guy looked at them and goes, they're really good, not too bad. But he can see the scratches in them. And when those scratches are in those lenses, you know what it does with light? It bends them a certain way, yeah. And that's why in this glare, you know, you're driving down the road like this morning, like the morning this morning, and you're driving down the road and the glare's off. You ever do that? And the glare's too, you know, you don't want to do that. You want to be able to stand, look clear, make some good decisions. But that light, the reflection, I'm being tricked with the things that's going on in my, you know, my glasses. But therefore, he tries to cut you off, and so you will not be able to stand as what? A good soldier. You got to remember, God chose you to be a good soldier once you're saved. So we have a situation we need to stand. And he does it so that you'll be ineffective in the battles and you won't be able to really stand. And verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his what?
Might.
So you will not be able to take the position in what God has given you in Christ and the sources and the power that he has us in our ability. We have an arsenal in Christ Jesus. I mean, we have power and all that stuff. You think about that for a minute. Satan seeks to do this against the minister of the body of Christ. He hates this message. He hates this message. The Bible says in Corinthians, for if they had known, the prince of this world would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And you're like, why? It's prophesied that he would come and die. That ain't no mystery. It's prophesied he's going to hang on a tree and die for many. That ain't... But what has accomplished it with the mystery program and the heavenly places, that's what Satan hates, guys. That's why when you stand for the Word of God rightly divided and know who you are in a mid-acts position, it really burns him up. And against the man that preaches it and against the man that seeks to live it in the day-to-day as out members of the body of Christ. Hey, if you're in line with the Word of God rightly divided and you got the doctrine side of you, you think your life is all hunky-dory right now? It's not. Because you got people against you. You got loved ones against you. Because all I want to do is study. All I want to do is be right for God. All I want to do is understand the Word of God. I want to raise my kids this way. I want to be who I am in Christ. But there's oppositions out there that throw monkey wrenches at you and curveballs at you and make you stumble to see you fall. Oh, let's see how big of a Christian he is. I told you he wasn't. You know, all that stuff is always oppositions going against you. Now, the essence of a trick is to make what is appear like it isn't, and to make what it isn't appear like what it is. That's what we talked about that already. Listen, you're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Where? Where do you find that? Yeah, you don't just make that up. But you can't, can you see those spiritual blessings right now? Mm-hmm. You can't really see them. And, you know, the results of, you can see some results as that spiritual blessing, but you can't see those spiritual blessings right now. And you can't feel the results. Let me ask you, can you feel the results of the forgiveness of sins and the relief of guilt and the resolution of guilt and so forth? You can feel like, oh man, what? Whew, I'm forgiven. You know, I'm seated in heaven. I can feel that. But you feel a psychological response that is a result of that spiritual transit. That's what you feel. You can't really put your hands on that and feel it like it's real substance. But you can feel the results of that, knowing in your mind that, hey, this is what God says. That's why it's very, very important, guys. You have to settle in your own mind that this is the Word of God, the final authority. I don't care what anybody says. And I have to place my trust in the Word. You know what Psalms 132 says? I think 138, 2b says. Well, it says he magnifies his word above his name. Now you think about that for a minute. You have the word of God. He says he magnifies his word above his name. Now you know a lot of people out there, Jesus, 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 right? It's all about Jesus. I'm thinking, wait a minute. The word is magnified above his name. So we have his authority. We have it. But you don't feel spiritual blessings in a way. They can have physical results, physical releases, and that kind of thing. Emotional results and the good works result in them. But the way you know that about spiritual blessings is how?
Through his word.
Through his word. By the word. And it is by what? We talked about that last lesson a little bit. By faith. That's how we know that. And you get in the Word and you find out all about the Word. When you trust Christ Jesus, you were baptized by what? One Spirit, right? Into one body. The minute that you trusted Christ Jesus, the God, the Holy Spirit, baptized you into the body of Christ. Did you feel anything? Listen, the identification, when Christ died, his death became your death. What did you feel? When his burial became your burial, what did you feel? When his resurrection became your resurrection, what do you feel? So you really didn't physically feel anything, but you know it was there. And the fact is, how do you know it's there? I should say.
By faith.
By faith. What does 1 Corinthians 12:13 say?
Faith cometh by hearing.
No, that's Hebrews. No, that's Romans 10:17.
Sorry.
But 1 Corinthians 12:13. Somebody read it to me right there. What was that? Huh? Speak up.
For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
So by one what? Spirit. So you didn't, you had to read that. Somebody showed you, say, hey, it's not a physical baptism, but a what?
Spiritual.
A spiritual baptism. And you never know about the spiritual baptism unless somebody showed you that in the Word of God. You understand that? Because what do we all know about? We know about a physical one. Well, I'll jump on that. But how many people showed you about a physical or a spiritual one? Same as circumcision. Well, we'll take circumcision as a spiritual circumcision, but you won't take baptism as a spiritual baptism, you know, that type of thing. So listen, by faith, I'm going to do that. And Satan wants you to focus on physical things. You ever notice that? Physical things. On the outward things, on the things you can see, rather than focus on the doctrinal realities of that God has in His Word. I've always said this from the time I believed this message of right division, dispensational truth. It takes more of a man to stand on faith than it does actually stand out here doing things. You know what I'm talking about? Now, there's a lot of things I haven't seen. I haven't seen the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can see God and Jesus Christ working through us. So I know He's real. Why? The Bible tells me so. And that is why sound doctrine is so important, guys. Not just doctrine, but sound doctrine. And you walk by faith, but Satan wants you to walk by what?
Sight.
But I don't see it, I don't believe it. We've done that, haven't we? I got to see it before I believe it. You know what I mean? That's not walking by faith. And you know in a physical realm, sometimes you have to see it and believe it, right? No one ever believed that you have a president had no chance to winning anything unless you actually saw it, right? You read about it 15 years ago, they may have eliminated that position by then. You know? What president? You ain't got no constitution. You ain't got no state rights. But how do you know? You have documents right now that states that. I always say, you know, you take pictures on conferences and things like that because nobody would ever know that you was there. Because you are not going to be involved in church history. This meeting here this morning, No one will ever know. Because people that write church history despises dispensational truths. They really do. Or they bend it. And you walk by faith, and that is what he is after. He wants you to walk by sight. Satan tricks you. And all the time you get in a mode of operation, whether in the ministry or in your practical life, where you're evaluating things by sight rather than faith, what we just mentioned, and you're doing it just what Satan wants you to do. Anytime you are in a situation whereby you evaluate things and approach things and determine what value is in a situation by sight rather than faith, you're doing exactly what Satan wants you to do. Hey, you can be tricked. We talked about that. And when your systems of norms and standards is based on which is given by sight rather than based on what faith and sound doctrine, then you're doing what the adversary wants you to do, and you're caught up in his trap, guys. We talk about a lot of this in our ministry, in our personal ministry, and in our corporate ministry, but you know, maybe they don't, you know, apply in our working ministry. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting with verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, and that is for the glory of God, we don't quit. That's what it means. We don't quit. Many of us do. I've seen a lot of people quit over the years. They just get tired of this message. They just get tired of fighting. They just give up. It's better off just sitting somewhere else and just, you know, unscrew your head and leave it in the glove box because you ain't going to need it when you come into church. That type of thing. Listen, God gave you a mind. We don't quit. For the God's glory, we keep going. But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is what? Renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh far for us a far more exceeding and weight of glory. Notice what he's saying here, guys. He is saying, for God's glory, we're not going to quit. And we're going to press on. And we're not going to stop because of circumstances around us. Even if our outward man perish. Now, many of y'all are younger than I am. And your body's perishing. My body's perishing. Your body, you feel that, don't you? You know you're not the same person you was 25 years ago.
Sickness is in your body.
Yep. The outward man's going to perish, guys. The outward man's going to perish. And if our own body just dries up and perishes, the inward man, the real you and me, is what? It's going to keep going. See, it's going to keep going. You know, I always talk about you as good as you feel. You heard that? You got a good positive mindset. It makes a difference in your decisions, in the way you walk, in the way you present your body. But if you're most miserable all the time, isn't it going to bring your physical body down too? And the inner man, and you're like, I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. Well, you know, I've been told many times, just get over it. You know, just get up and do something. I'm like, well, that's easy for you to say. And then you start changing your mindset about some things like, yeah, I can do that. You know, we got to take care of ourselves. You know that. So let me ask you something. Who is your real you anyway? Who is the part of you that you are going to take into glory and all through the ages of eternity? You're not going to take this body. You know that, don't you? And it is your old flesh or the new man inside of you. Which one are you taking here?
New man.
Aren't you looking forward to getting a new body? Mm-hmm. You know, our physical body gives you ability to relate to the world around us, don't we? That's how God designed us. It is your vehicle in which the new man lives and carries you carry around and does the work in the world. You understand that, don't you? And you are to yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. But what's the real issue with God? Is it this body here? Or the what? The new man. That's the issue with God. You ever think about the fact that you are an ambassador for Lord Jesus Christ? Do you ever think about the part of you is an ambassador? What part is it? It's not just physical. What is an ambassador?
Representative.
In the world, what is your representative? When we have an ambassador of the United States in Japan, what does he do?
Represents the United States.
Okay. Is somebody in a foreign country representing the government or their king, right? You know, that's who speaks for them. That's why that position is very powerful, if you will. We're down here on earth, but where's your citizenship? It's in heaven. So, let me ask you something. Is your old man at home down here?
No. Old man, yes.
Because isn't he earthly? Mm-hmm. So he feels right at home here, guys. Mm-hmm. I love this place sometimes. Yeah. Even Northeast Ohio can be wonderful at days, can't it? You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, there is a north, south, east, west of Ohio. You do know that. East part's a little different. Okay? But Northeast Ohio, I'll tell you what, they get a bad rap sometimes, don't they? But where are you? You're in Central, aren't you? You know, is that considered Central? Yeah, Central.
You say you're here too.
I'm pointing over here.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Pay attention, sister.
I'm sorry. Apologize.
Yeah, I know. But look, you know, it's true because your flesh is not a stranger down here, guys. Your flesh wants things. You know, you look at these children out there. They're growing, aren't they? Guess what they want? They don't want Nikes. They want Reeboks. You know with me? You know, that's a fleshly type of thing, and you're looking at them, no, you're getting Nikes today. That type of thing. They can make decisions based on who they are. People, you're in the flesh down here, your flesh is not strangers. This is where it came from. And what part of you is a stranger down here? The outward man or the inner man?
The inner man.
Your ambassadorship for Jesus Christ, your service for the Lord Jesus Christ has to be carried on. Not on the basis of this outward man, but that inner man. Prayer request, what we had a while ago, versus, you know, let the inner man make that decisions on who she is so the people know who she is, not the outer man. Outer man can be tough and rural, can't he? Ugly and, you know, divisive. That inner man is who you are in Christ. And the inner man is going to serve the Lord. He's going to have the use of the instruments of his body. Your body will have to yield its members as instruments to righteousness to bring forth fruit in the Lord Jesus Christ and to God. Do you understand that? This outward body is not going to please God. Ever. You can paint it up. You can dress it up. You can make it look good on Sundays. You make it look good when you go out to eat. Funerals, what? I don't mean a hill of beans with the Lord. The physical activity that you conduct and the way you use your members, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hands, your life, for the glory of God is for the new man to take your body and present your body as a living sacrifice unto who? Lord. This old man ain't going to do it, guys. This old man's going to claw, it's going to scrape, it's going to reject. It ain't going to do anything for God. But it's still a vehicle, isn't it? It's not the outward man, but the new man that has to be controlled. You got that? It's the Spirit of God resonant in your heart, working in your spirit, producing the activities. And that way, that physical activity that you do and the good works that you do is a result of the spiritual life inside of you. How many's been a part of religion? Religion. What does religion want you to do? Performed on it. Works. Oh, he's got a perfect attendance here. He gives this amount of money. We got records, he gives this. You know, and he does this and he does that. And that body gets puffed up. Look at me. You know, I'm a member of this church over here. Look at me. That type of thing. I learned a long time ago, you know, you got to watch that stuff. You can get sucked into that thing and look at me. Listen, you do it for the Lord. This is the Lord's work here, guys. It ain't my work. And I had to beat my flesh down and beat my flesh down because people said, man, Ed, you're doing a good job out there. How many of you got in your church? How many of you? Me, what? I'm like, it's Lord's church. I hope if I died today, I hope it would continue. That's what you want. You want the message to continue. And you have outward expressions, but there is no living reality in that. You ever notice that? The outward man. And you do. And when you go to be with the Lord, you don't take those outward expressions with you. You take who? The inner man. And that's what we're talking about here. Verse 17. And this is how you can say this. Verse 17. Our light afflictions, which is but for what?
A moment.
Light afflictions. That seems tough to say because what was Paul saying about his afflictions? Were they light? He got beat up. He got thrown in jail. He had all kinds of dramatic experience with them. And he called them what? And we're going to complain that my elbow hurts today, or my feet hurts, I got a little headache. I don't want to go to church because, you know, I just don't feel good. That ain't nothing what our pattern went through, guys. We need to think about this, and it might seem tough to say. If most of us had even one of those things happen in our lifetime, we'd probably be shook up for the rest of life, wouldn't we? Now, I know a lot of us experience, watch people die, and people die in front of you, and seeing things get blowed up and all that stuff, and car wrecks, and, you know, we've seen some of the things. And if you really dwell on that, it bothers you, don't it? Yeah, and it can affect you. And Paul has a long list of these things, and he says, that's just a light affliction. It's light because the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be what? Revealed in who? It's nothing, guys. If you lived long enough to take that dirt bath, you're going to suffer some things. You know, you're going to get old. You know, that type of thing. Paul has the realm of knowledge and understanding and doctrinal frame of reference that causes him to look at what he's going around him differently than he would normally would. Paul tapped into that inner man because he knew it was far more exceeding better to be with the Lord than it was here on this earth. And what is real to the eye of faith is different than the real of eye of sight. That's what we need to look at. And what the adversary wants us to do is to look around at the things that are physical circumstances that is going around us. Have you ever had a day or a week that seems like it's just everything's just going right like on schedule? Man, I feel great. And then all of a sudden you get a phone call. Or you get an email. Or you get somebody just takes a ball bat and hits you right between the eyes, it feels like. And you're like... And it throws you around in a whirlwind, like, what do I need to do? You know, and you start scrambling for decisions. I've done that, and I still do that sometimes. And you got to watch, because your mind automatically is going to start focusing on what I need to do to get this fixed right at all costs. Or you can just sit back and say, wait a minute, let me think a little bit before you make that decision. And he wants us to judge what God is doing on a basis of what we see. See, when things like that happen, so what's God doing this to me? And I got to scratch my head like, what's God doing to you? You know, is he going to cause a tornado to hit your house and your and you know, and it skipped your neighbor that don't even believe in God? You know, God's not a respecter of persons, guys. When weather hits, it hits. You know, nobody's flood. Now, if you build your house on a hill, isn't it better than building your house in a valley? Mm-hmm. So you've got to make some real decisions. And Paul says, no, 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 that is not what is real when you see that with your physical eyes. Now, it doesn't mean that this table's not real, does it? You know it's real. It's not that type of thing. You understand that. But a sense of being eternal. And verse 18 says he talks about being temporal and not eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. You know what the eye of faith says about that verse? The eye of faith, not the physical eye. You know what it says? Light affliction will work for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. That's our faith looking at it. Hey, this life, I got far more exceeding over here by looking at it the way God wants you to look at it. But if you look at it in a physical light, oh man, yeah, it feels like a 10-ton truck just hit me. You know what I mean? It feels like nothing's going right. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, that's earthly, temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. We're looking beyond the temporal thing time here. And you never notice that as you get older and older and older and older and older and older. You know, don't you seem to get more focus on your faith? It seems like more people get focused on, hey, I lived my life. You know, I'm ready to meet the Lord. You know what I mean? But when you're younger and younger and younger and younger and younger and younger and younger, you know, that type of thing, you're like, things not working right. I love the verse in Romans where it talks about tribulation worketh patience, patient experience hope. 0 to 20. Okay? Tribulation period. Nothing goes right. The boy don't like me. The girl don't like me. I need a car. I need this. I need that. Mom, dad, they're going through tribulations. Then from 20 to 40, it's patience. You start to settle down a little bit. You get a job. And 40 to 60 is experience. If you notice, you don't get so upset when tribulation comes. And patience. You have a little bit more patience. That's why you look at some people. I love the fact that older people, I can learn from them in the Scripture. You know, I'm like, that's experience. Then from 60 to 80 is what? Hope. And hope maketh not a what? A shame. You don't worry. Half you guys don't worry about the things, you know, that you did when you was younger. So these are very, very important things as keeping that spiritual eye focused on. And we know we are looking beyond that temporal time here. We know that what is going on here is not going to last forever, guys. But don't it seems forever? It seems forever. And we're living with eternity in view. That's with your sight on faith. And we're living with the reality of what is out there, with the reality of the new man that's going on, that we're going to have. That's our focus. That's how we can walk. In the passage, he's talking about the outer man perishing. He's talking about bodily afflictions and difficulties. And if you look back at verses 8 through 12, you will see the tremendous psychological, physical, emotional things that he was going through. We're not doing that, but he's going through traumas, his stresses and difficulties. But he says all those things are not the issue here. I'm not going to have a perplex and disturb and destroy by all those things because they are not reality. But they sure does feel like it, don't it? But to him, it wasn't reality. Now, who's your pattern? And he's showing us some things here. That is just sight, but I walk by faith, Paul is saying. I know this right now is not lasting. Does this seem, how many people in here are over 60? Okay. Does it seem like your life, I mean, if you look back when you was 40, does it seem like it went so fast, man? So fast. It's like, where did it go? Where did the time go? But the thing is, you walk by faith and you know this right now, it's not lasting. And if you know what you know now, back then, it made a world difference in your life. I know that. It isn't reality. And I'm not going to live, and I'm going to live and walk by what, guys?
Faith.
Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to focus on the doctrine and reality of what God has told me. I'm almost finished here. Bear with me. 2 Corinthians 5, 1. For we know, we have some knowledge and some doctrine here. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building of God. A house not made with hands, where?
Eternal in heaven.
What are you going to do with this guy, with a guy like that? He says, do your worst, kill me. It doesn't matter. Don't make a difference. I have it far better. That's what you're in. That's a, hey, there's nothing you can do to me that's going to take me out of Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do to me that's going to hurt me. I have a home eternally in heaven. But this flesh, once again, don't want to leave, does it? You ever have you ever actually seen somebody die? Yeah. Sometimes they go quietly, don't they? Sometimes they claw and they scratch. They don't want to die. That body don't want to give up. And what the industry's done today is they allow you to have medicine, you know, to quietly take you away, ease the pain. We don't want to see nobody suffer. But if you didn't have that, you know, a lot of them be crying and crawling. This body don't want to die. It wants to live. But anyway, I know it's sad, but what do you do about that? You walk by faith, don't you guys? You know who you are in Christ? My life is far better away from here than it ever is. And as soon as you understand that and have a knowledge of that, it does make a difference in your walk today. You know, and how you present yourself. Father, once again, we thank you for the things you give me. Given us clearly through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.